Begin the current Tav Masechet, this Kiddushin Daf Mem Ches, begin 13 lines down for the Tav of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the halach of Rav from the previous Daf. As the Gemara opens up, Nimi Ketanoi, let's say again, which the Gemara had asked different questions and proceeded to say that maybe it's a Machlokes Tanoim regarding this halach of Rav that he said, a Makadish B'milva, if someone lent a woman money. And then at a later point in time he says, remember that money I lent you, $1,000? I want you to be engaged to me with that money. Rav said that she's not engaged because Mivaloitzon alone is meant to be spent and therefore it's not your money, it's her money. She might owe you money, but you're not giving her anything right now and therefore it's not a valid Kedushin. Says the Gemara, let's say it's a Machlekes Tanoim in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, if a man says to a woman, Hiskachali Bishtar, I want you to become engaged to me with this document. So Remeo Eimer Einu Mekudeshes, he says that she's not engaged. And even if the piece of paper is worth a pruta, where even if, let's say, the content he can't engage her with, but the paper is worth a pruta, still, her intention is not to become engaged with the value of the piece of paper, but rather in the content. And as we'll see, Remeir holds that she's not engaged with the content either, so that she's not engaged from neither the paper or the content, and therefore she's not engaged. Rabbi Elazar Eimer Mekudeshes, he disagrees. He says, even if the paper is not worth a pruta, as the Gemara will explain later on, she is going to be engaged, either because Hamakadish b'milva mukadeshes, as that's what the Gemara is trying to illustrate, a machlek is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir regarding, as we'll see, that that's the shtar that he's giving her, is her own loan that she owes him, and he's giving her back that document, where Rabbi Elazar says she's engaged, not because of the paper, because Hamakadish b'milva is mukadeshes, or it's because, as the Gemara will explain later on, it's actually for different reasons, as the Gemara will say, it's not a raya, and we could say that everyone holds like Rav, that Hamakadish b'milva is not mukadeshes, but for a different reason, Rabbi Elazar says that she's engaged. That's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. The Chacham Meirim, they say, and they introduce a new concept, where again, Rabbi Meir is saying she's not engaged even if it is worth a pruta. Rabbi Elazar is saying that she's engaged even if it's not worth a shava pruta. The Chacham Meirim, they say, Shaman es anyar, that we evaluate the piece of paper because our intention is not just for the content to become engaged with what the document is projecting, but even the piece of paper itself. So we evaluate it. If the piece of paper is worth a pruta, so she's engaged, because the piece of paper is worth a pruta. But if not, then if the piece of paper is not worth a pruta, then she's not going to be engaged because of what the content of the document is saying. That's the price. Says the Gemara, Haishtar Hechadami. What exactly is the document that he's giving her, which we have this big machlekes about? So the Gemara says, Ile Mishtar Chayim Dachayim, if you would entertain to say that it means a regular document that he has a deed, which someone else owes him $1,000, and now he's giving this to the woman, say, okay, you could go ahead and collect from him. I'm basically giving you $1,000 because you could collect that from this person. And then the Gemara asks, well, Kasha Dreb Me'ad Dreb Meir, but then that would be a contradiction in Reb Meir's own opinion. Because we said in the previous daf, Mem Zayin Mabez, where we had a brisa, when the man says to a woman, Hiskachili Bishtar Chayiv, become engaged to me with a deed of a document of a debt, where there was actually four different interpretations exactly what the machlokes was, but either way, Mary says that she's engaged. So he could engage her with a shtar chayiv that someone else owes him. Yet here, Mary is the one that's saying that ainu mekudeshes. So obviously, the shtar that he's giving her cannot be a shtar chayiv. So Ella rather says the Gemara, and this is the question on Rav, b'shtar chayiv dida, it must be her own deed, the loan that she owes him. He had lent her money, and that's the machlik is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Mukadish b'milva kamevlagi. So obviously they're disputing if a man could engage a woman with the loan that he had lent her. Where we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar who says that she is engaged, which is not like Rav. Rav had said mukadish b'milva is not mukadeshes. Similarly here we have a machlik is tanoi. So Amar Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak he says no. Hacha ma'iskin, what we're talking about over here, you're right, it's not a shtar chayiv of others, and it's also not a shtar chayiv of her own, because that would be mukadish b'milva. Rather, kagoyin shekidsha bishtar. What we're talking about over here is what's known as a shtar erisin. When he's getting engaged to her, there's three ways to engage a woman as the Masechta opens up. Heishaniknes bekesa bishtar or bebia. So he wrote on a piece of paper, hareat mikudeshesli, and he's getting engaged to her. This is the document that he's giving to her. Now, if that's the case, then who would say that she's not mikudeshes? Because we're told much she'ain olav eidim. There are no witnesses signed on the document. It was just given to her in front of two witnesses. That's machlik, it's Remeir and Rabbi Elazar. Because Remeir l'tamei, Remeir goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, where it's mentioned many times in Masechet Gittin, this machlik is Remeir and Rabbi Elazar regarding Gittin, regarding a divorce document. the Amad that he says, Edechisi Mekarti, what creates the creases? What defines the get, the document of the get itself? It's the witnesses who are signed in the document. Now, therefore, he says that here where no one signed in it, it's not going to be valid because the document only becomes a document to create Erusin, just like regarding Gittin, is those who are signed in it, and now no one signed in it. Now, Reb Lezer L'tamei, Reb Lezer goes according to his opinion, the Amad that he says that even though there's no witnesses signed on it, as long as it was given in front of two witnesses, it's going to be kosher. Because Edim is Sirikarti. He says it's the witnesses who saw it being given over that they created into a safer creases. Not the witnesses who are signed on the get. That is, as the Gemara explains, only because of Tikkun Olam. That's a way of to rectify the world, that if, let's say, those witnesses who saw the Mesira, who they create the creases, if they die, if they move to overseas, and then the husband contests that it's not kosher, then you have to have witnesses sign in it. Now, so therefore, that's their machlik, is regarding the halacha over here, regarding the shtar erisin, which is just like by there, by Gittin, we see, is it Eid Hasim or Eid Mesira? So too over here, where there is no witnesses signed on it, Ramei is going to say it's not kosher, and therefore it's not a kedushin, and Rablaz is going to say it's kosher. Now, but Rabbanu misafkalu ikre mei ikre belazer. But the Rabbanu were in doubt if the halacha is like Rimei or like Rablazer. And but additionally, they hold another component, is that the woman is also thinking about becoming engaged because of the value of the paper itself. Now, hilkach shaman esaniyar. Therefore, they say, look, we're not sure about if she's mekudeshes or not based on the content, because that depends if you have witnesses or not. We're not sure if it's like Rimei or Rablazer. But we know that she's thinking about the paper too. So hilkach shaman esaniyar, you evaluate the paper. If it's worth a pruta, then she's engaged. Vimlav, ain't the mekudeshes. And if not, she's not engaged. Now Rashi says, actually, according to this, the Gemara's first text, the one which is quoted, actually says not to be gairis, not to have the text in this version of the words of the Rabbanan, vimlav, and if not, if it's not worth a shavah pruta, then ain't the mekudeshes. Rather, it should just say, v'chacham aymrim, that the sages say, shaman esaniyar, we evaluate the paper. If it's worth a shavah pruta, then she's engaged. Now, however, but when it's not worth a shavah pruta, that they didn't discuss, because that they were in doubt if the halacha is like Rimei or like Reb Elazar. But now, when it is worth a shavah pruta, that's where they're coming to differentiate. If the piece of paper is worth a shavah pruta, she's going to be engaged, not because of shtar, because it might not be, quote, a halachic shtar, because there's no witness designed in it, according to Rimei, but rather from the halacha of kesef, because their thought, the woman's thought, is also on the piece of paper itself, which has its own value as a piece of paper, as kesef, not as shtar. That's one approach to say that it's not about if you can be mekadesh b'milva. They're not arguing regarding Rav's halacha. Rather, it's regarding this halacha of what creates the shtar. Is it the witnesses who see it being given over, or the witnesses signed in it? Or if you want, you could say a second approach. It's kagoyin shekesavai that's talking about where this shtar eris in the document of engagement was written shaloi lishma, not for the sake of this woman. It was written in general for a different woman who maybe has the same name. And the machlekes remain Reb Elazar is in the halacha of Rish Lakish. Because the boy Rish Lakish had asked this question. He said, Shtar Eris and Chiksovish Shaloy Lishma Ma. What's halacha regarding a document made for Kedushin, Hare Ad Mekudeshes Li, which is what the words the Chassan writes for the Kala on Gibbs or the paper, but it was written not for her. It was written for a different woman. Ma, what's the halacha? And the question is as follows. Havaya Litziya Makshina, do we say we compare the halachas of engagement, the halachas of divorce? Ma Yitziya Be'in Lishma. Just like divorce, you need to have it to be Lishma. As the Pasuk says in Devarim Chavdal, V'chasav La, as the Gemara darshans elsewhere, that means you have to write it for her, meaning for her sake. Afavai Nam Be'in Lishma. So to engagement also has to be Lishma, as we know we always learn out, V'yatzav Ha'isa. Idilma Havayis La Dodi Makshin. Or the Gemara says that his other option was that maybe no, you compare the different types of Kedushin to each other. We know that there's kesef shtar and bia. Now, mahavai the kesef loy bin lishma, just like when you engage a woman with money. The money wasn't made for the sake of this woman. The mint, the government, whoever made it, made their money. Afavai the shtar loy bin lishma. So too, when you're getting the kedushin through a document, the document of haret mekudeshesli didn't have to be made for this woman, and therefore it doesn't have to be lishma, and therefore it is going to be kosher. So do you compare it to divorce, and therefore it needs to be lishma, or do you compare it to the other types of kedushin, which it doesn't have to be lishma? Now, Basid the Baya had the Pashta, after that he had asked the question, he resolved it, as we said, because the Pasuk says, V'yatza v'haisa. There's a Hekesh which says, that it talks about a woman leaving. It says, V'yatza mi beisa, she leaves his house, the one that was divorced. And said, V'hocha, she goes, V'haisa l'shachar, and she goes to another man. So, Makesh avayli yitzia. So, we're comparing, engagement to divorce, just like divorce needs to be lishma, so too shtar erisin has to be written lishma. Now it's regarding that halacha that this was their machlokes. Mar isli the Rish Lakish, or Meir holds a Rish Lakish, which it has to be written lishma. And since the case we're discussing over here, the shtar erisin was not written lishma, that's why he holds it. She's not going to be engaged. Umar lessly the Rish Lakish, and the Rulaza did not hold the Rish Lakish as halacha, and therefore he holds that even though it wasn't written lishma, it's going to be kasher. That's why she's engaged. That's the second approach. And if you want, you could say a third approach. The Kula Alma Isla Rish Lakish, that they all agreed to Rish Lakish as halacha. And V'hacha Ma'iskin, what are we talking about over here? Shiksava Lishma. It was written Lishma. But V'shalei Midaita. It was written without her awareness. She didn't know that he was writing a Shtar of Erisin to engage her. Now, Obeplukta, the Rava V'ravina V'rapapa V'ravshravi Kamiflikit. And it's in the Machlekes of these following four Amiram that was this Machlekes Hanoim. Did my like we learned. Ksavir lishma v'shloi medaita. This case was written for the sake of this woman, but without her awareness. So Rava v'Ravina Amri, they both say, and this is what Rabbi Laz's opinion was, mikudashes, that she is engaged. Now the reason for this is brought in the first paragraph of Tesma Beis, because it says, yeah, we compare Havaya liyitziya, just like you'd see when a woman is divorced. We don't need to write it with her awareness, because actually the husband could divorce her even without her consent. So to Havaya, so to by the Shtar of Erisin, it also could be written Shaloi Midaita without her awareness. Now Rav Papa, Rav Shravi Amri, they say, and this is like Rav Meir's opinion, that Eina Mukadeshes, she's not going to be engaged again, because we're saying that's with the case that Rav Meir and Rav Elazar are disagreeing. Regarding what is written Shaloi Midaita, they hold it's not going to be a Kedushin, because yeah, we compare it to Yetziah, just like by divorce, we need to have the writing of the get to have what's called Das Makna, the one who's giving over the acquisition, who that's the husband, who he's giving over the acquisition of the woman who he had acquired when he did Kedushin back to herself with this get. So to Havaya, we need what's called Das Makna. The one who's making the acquisition, that's the woman. She is Makna herself to her husband, to the chasen, to this man, with this shtar. She's giving herself over in Kedushin to the man. She has to have her Das Makna, just like by Gittin, the husband has to be the one who writes it with his awareness, who is the Das Makna, and that's the comparison of Yetzav HaHaisa. So that's, again, a machlokes regarding how you understand Yetzav HaHaisa. Do we, just like by Gittin, we don't need to have our awareness so to hear, or just like by Gittin, we need the Das Makna's awareness, who there it happens to be the husband, and here by Shtar Erisin, it's her who she's the Makna, and therefore we would need her awareness, and therefore it would not be a Kedushin. That's the machlokes, Remeya and Rebbe Elazar, regarding the same machlokes of the Sfar Meiram. So again, those are three different interpretations how to explain this brisa, and therefore, it's not necessarily that they're disputing Rav's halacha, because the Skachli B'shtar was not talking about a shtar of shtar dida of har milva, because everyone would agree milva loitzan, and rather than arguing on these three different interpretations. So the Gemara goes back and says again, trying to talk about this halacha of Rav regarding Mekadesh ben milva. Again, the Gemara says, Ne mekandi tanoi de tanya. Let's say it's like the following Tanoim that are disputing this halacha of Rav in the following braisa. If a woman says to a craftsman, Asali Shirim, make for me a bracelet, an anklet, nizamim v'tabois, a nose ring, and the finger rings, v'akadish anilach, you work for me, take this gold of mine, and turn it into this jewelry, into this bracelets and rings, v'akadish anilach, and with the how much it costs for me that I would have to pay you for the work that you're doing, instead of me paying you, I'll hold on to the money, that I'll consider as if you gave me, and with that amount, I'll become engaged to you. So it's a machlekes. Kivin sha'asoin mekudeshes divrei Meir. Meir says, from the moment that he made the rings, she's already engaged him. Now, v'chacham, I mean, they dispute that, and they say, no, eina mekudeshes actually gi'a mamon liyada. She's not engaged to him until the money reaches her hand. The Gemara explains, "Hi, mom and hey, chedami." When the Chacham say she's who they're the more stringent, they say that she's only engaged when the money reaches her hand. Which money are they talking about? And that is, "Ilema oisay mamon." If it means that money, meaning she had given him money, gold, and when he finishes making it into jewelry, so then he gives it back to her because that was the purpose why she gave it to the craftsman to make her this jewelry. If it's talking about that they're saying she's only engaged when she gets back the jewelry. Now, Mechlal, the inference would mean, the Tanakama Sava, that the first opinion, that of Rimei would hold, who he's being the more lenient interpretation, it would sound like, that even if she didn't even get back the jewelry, In other words, when Rebbe Meir said the kivin she'asun, once he made it, it literally means to say once he made it, even though he didn't give it back to her, that Rebbe Meir would hold that she's already engaged. But the question is, how is that possible? El b'may boy mekacha. With what exactly is he engaging her when he finishes making it? He didn't give her anything. She didn't get anything. She didn't get the money that she would have had to pay him because he didn't even give her back the jewelry. So he's still holding on to it. So how could that be the moment that the Chacham are talking about that she has to get it and then she's engaged? And he's saying, no, you don't need to. Then if he didn't even give her back the jewelry, so then he didn't give her anything. Because the whole thing was in what he made it into. And he's giving her that. But he didn't even give her that yet. So Elalav, rather says the Gemara, must mean, b'mamen acher. The Chacham were saying that this amount that he had worked for, and he worked 10 hours work, whatever it is, $1,000 worth, and he's giving her that when he's giving her the rings, which she had just given him gold. So the Chacham is saying, no, even if he would give her the jewelry, that wouldn't qualify as a Kedushin until he gives her other monies. Now, Shmamina, so you can infer from that, that Mekadesh bin Milva Kemiflagi must mean that this is exactly what they're disputing, the halacha of Rav, can a man engage a woman with a milva, with a loan? Now, the question is, what does that mean? Where do we see over here a halacha of a milva, of a loan? Because as the Gemara explains as follows, because Visavri, they held, those who were explaining this machlik is between the Mei and the Chacham to say that they're arguing in Rav's halacha, the Kuli Amma, that all of them held, both opinions, Yeshna l'schiris mitchil batzayf, that a schiris, when you're hiring someone to do work for you, that the way it works is that if let's say he's working for 10 hours, so every single pruta's worth of work that he did for you is every time he finishes that amount of work, you owe him that amount. It's incremental. So the employer owes the worker for every amount of work that he's doing. Now, that's what it means, yeshna l'schiris, when you're hiring someone, so he's fixing, only finishes at the end, but you're chayif him every moment that he's working, another pruta, and by the end, it equals how much was owed. So it goes, mitchil v'atzayif, it's starting from the beginning and it goes till the end. Now, hence, v'hav milva. So essentially, retroactively, the amount that he worked on these rings, what was owed from the first second, the second minute, the third minute, and so on, until he finished all the 10 hours, all those previous hours are loans. In other words, she owes him what was in the past, because she owed him as it was going along. Now, so therefore, my lab balkamilvke says, Gemara, so isn't this what they're arguing about? Dimar sabre meir held, hamakadish bin milva mukadesha, someone that gets engaged with a loan is engaged, because essentially that's what's happening over here. We're talking about, of course, he has to give her back the jewelry. But the Chacham say that no, it's not going to help even when he gives her back the jewelry, he has to give her other monies. Giving back the jewelry is not going to create a Kedushin. Why not? Because all that money's worth that he's giving her now, he's not really giving her that now. She actually owed that to him in the past already. It's a milva. It's something that she owes him. So he could say, you don't have to pay that to me, but that would be Mekadesh bin Milva. So Rameh says that it's Mekadeshes because he owes Mekadesh bin Milva as Mekadeshes. But Amar Sava Mekadesh bin Milva ain't Mekadeshes, but the Chacham held that no, that if you're getting engaged to a woman with a loan, that's not going to create a Kedushin. So seemingly we have a Machlekes Tanoim in the opinion of Rav. And the reason being is because a milva is what you owe someone. It's a loan, it's a debt that's owed. Here that's essentially what it is. Because it's not at the end that now you owe him this money and he's saying, okay, here I'm giving you this ring and he's giving her that amount. He's not giving her anything. This was incremental from the past. So therefore that was already owed beforehand. That you can't create a Kedushin with if you hold Mekadesh bin Milva is in Mekadeshes. But Remeu, who says that it's Mekadeshes, obviously he holds that you could be Mekadesh bin Milva. Says the Gemara Loi. No, it's not difficult on Rav. The Kuli Alma Mekadesh bin Milva in Mekadeshes, we can really say that everyone agrees that if you want to engage a woman with something that was already owed from her to you, like we're saying that this, what we thought this case would be, like a Milva, that would not create a Kedushin. But this, the premise that we thought was assumed is exactly what they're disputing. Do we say that a schiris, when you're hiring someone like this craftsman to do work, that the payment is incremental or not? As the Gemara explains, Marsav Remeir held as we continue on Tamid Beis, Eina l'schiris ela basoif. Actually, the payment for hiring someone to do work is actually only obligated at the end, when he gives her back the jewelry. Now, when he's giving her back the jewelry for the purposes of Kedushin, he's essentially forgiving her what she owes him. It's at that moment that he's then giving her that amount. And therefore, it's not a loan which she had owed him in the past that now he's giving her back, because that would be Mekadesh bin Milva. It's not, because the Schiris is Ela L'Besoiv, it's only obligated at the end, not incremental. Therefore, he holds it's going to be Kedushin. Mar Sava, but the Chacham held that it's not going to be Kedushin because Yesh Nilaskiris Mitchivat Saif. They held that it is incremental, and therefore it is a milva, and that's why they held it's not going to be Mekudeshes. But again, everyone agrees to Rav's halacha. Question is it a milva or not? Or V'yibayis Ema, another approach to Gemara says, the Kula Alma Yesh Nilaskiris Mitchivat Saif. Everyone agrees that it is incremental. And moreover, Mekadesh Ben Milva Ein Mekudeshes. And seemingly, therefore, it should be a case of milva. And yet, if you mekadesh b'milva, like Rav says, everyone holds that in the mukudeshes. So then, how do we understand Reb Meir? If it's incremental, seemingly it's a milva, so why is it hold it's mukudeshes if mekadesh b'milva is not mukudeshes? So the Gemara v'hacha b'umen koyne b'shvach kli k'miflugi. What they're arguing about is, does a craftsman acquire the increase in value that he has created in making this utensil? That's what they're arguing about. In other words, that here we're not talking about that he was hired in what's called a schir yom. He wasn't hired to be paid per day, because then you could say that it's mitchil vat saif, and of course it would be a milva. Rather, he was a certain type of a contracted, which was as a kablan. A kablan is someone that accepts upon himself to finish the job. You're paying me for the job to create this jewelry. No matter how many hours it takes me, how many weeks, less or more, doesn't make a difference. Now, what they're arguing about is regarding when you have a craftsman that's a koblin, again, who accepted to do the job, when he increases the value of the object that he's making. In other words, he makes some gold into a kli. The machlekes is regarding, does he actually acquire rights in the vessel that he made better? In other words, you gave me gold. That's all, that's yours. Now, I made it into a vessel. That is really mine. Now, what do you pay me? You pay me for my shears I have in that, or no? It's my gold. You make a vessel out of it, fine. It's my vessel, my golden vessel. I'll pay you for the work that you do. Now, that's their machlokes. Marsa Remeir held umen koyin b'shvach kli, that a craftsman acquires the increase of the vessel itself. In other words, and therefore here you cannot say, which was the seemingly obvious question, yesh nalaskiris mitzchil v'atzayif, what do you mean? Your payment goes from beginning till end. It's incremental. It's a loan. No, because whatever increase he made, it's not a loan that the owners owe him. Rather, it's, so to speak, his kli. He made that. He owns that. Now, when he gives it back for a certain amount of pay, he says, I'm going to charge you $500. He essentially, what he's doing is he's selling his rights in the vessel back to the owner of the gold itself. So therefore, that's only happening now when he's giving it back to the woman and he's saying, I'm giving it to you. So he's really giving her something. That's why he's going to create a kedushin. But a marsav, the chacham held the ein umen koyin b'shvach kli. A craftsman doesn't acquire rights in the vessel. You don't own any shears in that. And therefore, essentially, it's like a schiris. You're really being paid for the work that you're doing, even though you're a koblin. It just gets split up in a different way. And therefore, it would be a problem because it is mitchil v'at saif, that schiris, and it is a milva, and therefore, it's not going to be a kedushin. Or the Gemara says, V'ibayisem, you could say a third approach. Dekuli alma ein umid koin b'shvachli. You could say that everyone agrees really that there's no, you don't have any rights in the vessel itself. So that won't work to explain Remeir's opinion. Moreover, v'yesh l'schiris mitchil v'atzayif. And also, therefore, that won't explain Remeir's opinion, which we had said originally in the second interpretation, was ein l'schiris el b'sayif. No, everyone agrees you're not acquiring any rights. So basically, you're a sachar. You're getting paid for the work that you're doing. And it is incremental. And moreover, you can't say the original approach of the Gemara. Remeir does not hold not like Rav, because he also agrees that if you're Mekadesh B'milva, it's not Mekadeshes. So how do we understand Remeir's opinion? So the Gemara, what we're talking about over here in the third interpretation is, which that's a borrowed term regarding one of the stones of the Cheshen. But what it means to say is, he adds his own jewel, his own gem, to the ring that or the bracelet that he's making for the woman. Now, so what's the machlokes? The Maris of Remeir held milva upruta when the man's engaging a woman with two things, with a loan, which doesn't work, and a pruta, which does work. So he's giving her a pruta, a coin. He's saying, here, I want you to get engaged to me with this coin and with the $100 that you owe me. You know, I want to engage you with that too. So Remeir held daita pruta. The woman's intention is, what's the kedushin? With the money that she's getting now. So though there's a milva, but she's not focusing on that, because if she was, actually she wouldn't be engaged, because it cannot be mekadesh b'milva. Her focus is on the pruta. So therefore over here, where he made a ring for her, yes, according to Reb Meir, the ring itself would be considered a milva, because it's chiris mitzchil v'atzayif, and he's not giving her anything now, it's what she really owes him from before. But since he added on another touch, he threw on a gem into that ring, when he's giving her that ring, she wants to accept the kedushin for that extra thing that he's giving her now, for that pruta. That's why there's engagement, because he's giving her that now. But Amar Sabbe Chacham held no daite amilva. Her thought is, that money that I owed you, okay, that I'm doing kedushin with. That's not going to create a kedushin because you cannot be mekadosh with a milva. So although he added on neifer mishalai, she's not going to be engaged because her focus was on the ring. And again, that's a milva, and that's why that's not going to be a valid kedushin. Now the Gemara says, down the tanoi, the tanya. And this machlikis that we just showed regarding the third interpretation that they're disputing regarding if there's a milva and a pruta, what's going to be her focus to say if it's kedushin or not, is the same machlikis we learned in the following brisa. Brisa says as follows, b'schar she'asisi imach. If a man tells to a woman, for the pay that I have worked for you, you owe me this amount of money, I want you to be engaged to me. So let's say he was a plumber or whatever, he did some type of work. So says the Braisa, ein mekudeshes. So she's not going to be engaged because that's like a milva. That's a debt. I mean, that's something that she owes him. And again, as we said, that's her money. You're not giving her anything. And since you're saying that I gave you something, but that was already in the past, that won't be a valid kedushin. Now, b'schar she'aseh imach, but let's say he says, with the pay, with the reward that I am going to do for you, I didn't do this for you, but I'm going to do it for you, with that I want you to become engaged to me, that says the Tanakama Mukudashas. She's going to be engaged when he concludes and gives her that work that he's going to do for her, because as the Gemara will shortly explain, Tanakama holds that Schiris is Ela L'Besayif, it's only at the end. So since it's only at the end, it's not incremental, and therefore he's saying, when I'm going to finish that work, will then be then, not all along, and therefore it's not a milva, and therefore that could be valid as a kedushin. Now Reb Nosson Neimer, he disagrees. He says, "Bischar she'asa imach." Even in this last case of the Tanakama, with the reward, with the gain, the profit that I'm going to do for you, still in the mukadeshes, she's not going to be engaged, as the Gemara will shortly explain, because he holds yeshna l'schiris mitzchil v'atzayif, which was this topic we were discussing just before, that he holds it is incremental. So even if it's regarding what he's going to do for her, it's not going to help, because when he's going to give it to her, it's really already going to be a milva, because she had already owed him all throughout. And here it's only, he's saying, to be at the end. And says, Rib Nosson, b'chol shekein, then for sure it's not going to work, b'schar she'asisi imach, with the work that I've already done for you, because again, since he already finished that work and he already gave back this thing that he had made for her, so then that's already a total milva, it's already a total debt alone that she owes him, and therefore in neither case, does he say, is it going to work. That's, there was two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, I mean, he says, Be'emes Amru, in truth they said, Bein b'schar she'asisi, whether it's in the case of what he says, in with the reward of what I have done, or Bein b'schar she'asa amacha, whether with the gain of what I will do, he says in both cases in the Mukadeshas, which is like Reb Nosson, that's not going to work. But he says, v'mhoisabla nefir mishaloi mukadeshas. But if what he's described that he's going to do for her, let's say he's going to make this jewelry we said in the previous case, and he adds on something else from his own, then that is going to be a kedusha. Now the inference is that Reb Nosson holds, since he doesn't make this differentiation, that even if he would add on something of his own, she would not be engaged. And that's because, as the Gemara will shortly explain, he holds when this milva upruta, Daita al milva. She's thinking about the milva regarding the ring, regarding the loan, regarding the debt, and that's why that's like the chacham hold it's not going to be a kedushin. Whereas Reb Meir was like Rebbe who said that it is going to be a kedushin. So the Gemara explains, Beitanakam al Reb Nosson ikka benayis schiris. The difference between the first two opinions in this brisa, between the Tanakam and Reb Nosson, is as we explained regarding how do you understand and define the mechanics of schiris when you hire someone to do work for you. Is it mitchila va'atzayif? Is it incremental and therefore then it won't be a valid kedushin? Even you say she'asei imach because by the time you finish, it's already she already owes you. It's not starting then. It already was an old debt. Or do you say that no, it's an lebsayif and therefore it is a valid kedushin? That's what the Tanakam held. That's the difference between Tanakama and Reb Nosson. And then the difference between Bein Reb Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the difference between the last two opinions, Ike Benayu Milva Pruta, the difference is regarding when you're trying to engage a woman with both an old loan that she owes you and with a Pruta. Where Marzava, that Reb Nosson held, Milva Pruta Daita Milva. When there's a loan and a Pruta, that her thoughts are on the loan. And therefore, that's like the Chacham hold that's not going to be a Kedushin because on the loan you cannot be Mekadosh with a Milva. Mar Savar Daita Pruta, whereas Rebbe holds his thoughts are on the Pruta, and therefore that's like Reb Meir who holds it's going to be a Kedushin because that is something you're giving now, Nisim Nevich Mishaloi, that's why it's a valid Kedushin. Again, therefore, there's no refutation of the opinion of Rav. It's not even the Machlekes Tanoim. Rather, the Machlekes are on different things, as we illustrated, three different interpretations, what they were disputing, but not the Halacha of Rav, a Mekadosh be Milva. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Can continue on a similar case, but a different halacha of the previous Mishnah. Where again, the previous Mishnah we had said, Hiskachli b'tmar zu, so we got into the whole discussion regarding if he said Hiskachli by each time, or he said zeh v'zeh v'zeh. Now, the Mishnah opens up with a similar type of a case, but a different type of halacha. Let's say he says to the woman, Hiskachli b'kezeh shel yayin, become engaged to me with this cup of wine. Now, the halacha over here is, but b'nimtza shel dvash. Turns out, it wasn't wine, it was honey. Or the other way around, shel dvash b'nimtza shel yayin, he says, become engaged to me with this cup of honey. Turns out it's wine. Or b'dinazel shel kasav, he says, become engaged to me with this coin of silver. B'nimtza shel zav, it turns out it's a golden dinner. Or the other way around, shel zav b'nimtza shel kasav, he says, become engaged to me with this golden coin. Turns out it's silver. Or almanash ani asher, he says, become engaged to me on the condition that I'm wealthy. B'nimtza ani, turns out he's really poor. Or ani b'nimtza asher, he says, become engaged to me on the condition that I'm poor. Turns out he's really wealthy. Says the Tanakama, Ein Mekudeshes, it's a mistaken Kedushin. It's not done with the acquiescence of the woman because it turns out that it was an error and therefore it's not a valid Kedushin. Reb Shimon Omer, he says, he disagrees. He says, Imhito Lishvach, if he fooled her for the better, which he said that I'm poor, it turns out he's really wealthy, or silver turns out it's really gold, then he says, Mekudeshes, then it is a Kedushin because although it was a mistake, but it was a mistake for the better and therefore she is agreeable and therefore it's going to be a valid Kedushin. Now, related, as it talks about the same case that the Mishnah opens up with, the Gemara says, Tana ban ulin labraisa. Hiskachli b'kaizat. If a man says to a woman, become engaged to me with this cup. So, Tana chada, we learn in one braisa that says, bay u'bemasha b'teichai. So she becomes engaged to him both with the cup itself and in what's inside the cup. In other words, she merits in both of them and they both combine to be, if they're both together, equals the value of a shavaputa, even though each one is not, but she merits both of them. And therefore, it'll create a kedushin if they're both the shavapruta. Now, but Batani Yidich, in the second braisa that said, boy, she's only engaged with the cup, but she doesn't merit what's inside of it. And what's inside of it will not combine with the cup to be a shavapruta. And yet, Batani Yidich, we learned in the third braisa that says, b'masha b'teichai v'loy boy. She actually only merits what's inside of it, but not the cup itself. And therefore, the cup will not combine with the shavapruta. And the Gemara says, "V'le kasha," and it's not a difficulty. The three brises are not a contradiction. Ha b'mayim, the brise that said "bay v'loy b'mashav b'teiche," that she only merits the cup and not what's inside of it, is talking about by water, which is not so chashav. It's not so distinguishing, and therefore her thoughts were not on the water, but rather on the cup itself. So therefore, it's only "bay v'loy b'mashav b'teiche." Ha b'chamra, the other one that said that it's only b'mashav b'teiche v'loy bay, what's inside of the cup, but not the cup itself, was talking about when it was a cup of wine, where the custom was that a person would drink the cup of wine and give back the cup to the owner, so therefore her thoughts were only on the wine and not on the cup. Ha b'tziyara, the one that said that it's both on the cup and what's inside of it was talking about either, as Rashi says, the brine, fish brine, which is made to last a long time and that you dip into it, so therefore you need to have the cup to maintain what's inside of it. So when he's giving her this cup of fish brine, obviously it's for the fish brine and for the cup itself. Or he says that it means, tziara means oil, which as the pasuk says, lashon of yitzer, same thing where it's to last a long time, that it's the same concept where her thoughts are on both the cup and on the oil, and therefore it's going to be bay, u'mashe b'teiche, to combine to be the value of a shavapruta. Now the Mishnah said that Reb Shimon disagreed with the Tanakhama, and he says, if he fooled her for the better, then she is engaged. Now in this halacha, the Gemara asks, the Leslie Reb Shimon, doesn't Reb Shimon hold the following Mishnah in Baba Basra? The Mishnah says, Yain v'nimtzachayim, it's if there's a sale between two people, that he was selling wine, turns out it's vinegar. Ochaymitz v'nimtzayayin, or he's selling him vinegar and turns out it's wine, says the Mishnah, Shnehem, both the consumer and the seller, Yichayin Lachzabem, could retract, meaning they both made a mistake. They thought what was being handled over here was one thing. It turns out it's something else. They both could retract. So says the Gemara, Alma, Ikedinichele Becholos. So obviously, we see that some people are more preferable to have vinegar. In other words, even though potentially you would say that wine is better, because vinegar is when it spoils or when it sours, but sometimes somebody needs vinegar. And therefore, at that point, he doesn't want wine, and it's preferable to have vinegar. But and sometimes someone would rather want to have wine. So Hachinami said, the Gemara is here also. How can you say that there's something called better or worse? It depends on what the person wants, what you need at that time. There are some women that would prefer silver, and she wouldn't want gold. So how can you say, oh, if he fooled her for the better, then it's going to work? Although you think that objectively gold is better, but subjectively it's not. She wants silver, so how can you say it's hit to the shvach is going to be a kedushin? So the Gemara tells us that Amr of Simi Bar Asha, he says, Ashkechasi la Abaya, I encountered Abaya, the Yosef of Kumasabali Lebre. He was sitting and he was explaining to his son, how do we understand this halacha of Reb Shimon? Because seemingly there's no objective better or worse. So he explained, Hachamai Iskin, what we're talking about over here in this halacha of Reb Shimon, in other words, it's not talking about her error, that she was fooled. You're right. Regarding that halacha, Reb Shimon would not disagree. And he would agree that no matter what it is, Zav or Kesav, Kesav or Zav, it would not be a Kedushin. Rather, we're talking about it's his error. The case is talking about Kigain Sha'amel Lishlucha. We're talking about that the one who wants to engage this woman tells to his agent, tells another guy, Helveni Dinishal Kesav. Do me a favor. I don't have any money on me right now. I want to get engaged to this girl. Lend me a silver dinner. And Velech V'kadosh Le'isha Planes, go for me. I'm busy right now. Engage that woman for me with that money that you're lending me. V'halach V'hil V'shel Zav. Now, instead of giving that woman a silver dinner, he went and gave her a golden dinner. That's the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Mar Savar Kipay, the Tanakama of a Mishnah held that he's particular, this man. And that is, he didn't want to give gold. I didn't make you an agent to give her gold. I want to get engaged to her, but I didn't want to invest gold. I only wanted to give her silver. That's why it's not a Kedushin. Umar Savar Reb Shimon held that no, he is agreeable to give gold. And actually, he would have preferred to give gold because he really wants this girl to be impressed and become engaged. The reason why he told him to give her a silver dinner was because Mar Makom Hulai. He was just indicating to make it easier for him to say, look, if you can't give me a golden dinner, it's okay, just give me a silver one. He's just identifying what he could use. But what he would like, of course, go ahead, give gold. That is why Reb Shimon says that if it's hita l'shvach, meaning if the mishaleach, the man was fooled by his agent, and that instead of giving silver, he gave him gold, which was l'shvach, then of course he was agreeable. Go ahead, I wanted to be impressed. I want to engage her with the better stuff. But the Tanakhama held no, that he's mak, but he wanted specifically only to invest in silver and not something more expensive, and therefore it's not going to be a kedushin. Now that thing more asks, ehachi, if that's the case, the way you just described it, that there's an agent engaging this woman, and it was the man who was mistaken, not the woman, but then hiskachili, the Mishnah calls it a case of when the man tells the woman, become engaged to me. But that's not the case. Hiskachi laimi baile. It should have said where the man is telling, who this is the shliach, telling the woman, become engaged to him, because he's a shliach for someone else. Moreover, if he's saying that the error is by the man, the one who had sent, meaning by the chasen, well then, hital l'shmach, when it says in the Mishnah that if he fooled, that the way Reb Shimon said that if she's fooled for the better, shouldn't it say she's fooled for the better? She was never fooled. It should have said that if he fools him, meaning the one who sent him, for the better, that it's going to be a kedushin. Moreover, when the Mishnah says nimtza, the way it described the case, that it was said to be one thing and it turns out it was something else, that it turns out that it was gold, why is saying that it was found out to be, but mikarinami, but even in the beginning when this man, who again we're calling the shliach, had given it to the woman, it was with the same presumption that it turned out to be, which was the zavava, which was gold. It wasn't found out to be gold. She always knew it was gold. Because actually the one who ends up finding out is the man. So why are we calling it v'nimtza? So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, Ani va'arisha b'chabur targimna. Me and the lion of the chevra, of the group, we are going to interpret this halacha. Umana, and who is this? It's Reb Chiya bar Avin. That halacha iskina, what we're talking about over here in the halacha of Reb Shimon, that he disagrees with the Tanakhama and our Mishnah, is kagain she'amr hi l'shlucha. We're talking about a case where the woman says to her agent, tzevikabeli kedusha miplani. She says, go ahead, I know this man wants to engage me, but I'm not available right now. Go ahead and receive my kedushin from that man. Because she'amr li, he had told me, hiskachli bedin shel kesef, he told me, he promised me, we're going to get engaged. And on this time, and he was going to engage to me with a silver dinner. Now, v'halach v'nosan lei dinner shel zav. So the guy goes for this woman and goes to receive her kedushin, and turns out he gets not a silver dinner, but a golden dinner. So what's the machlekes? Mar sava the tanakama held kipeda. She was particular. She wants silver. Silver goes with her whole color scheme. And as Rashi says, there are those who prefer silver. So therefore the tanakama said, she said to this guy, I'm only agreeing to become engaged because he promised me silver. It's gold. I don't want to be engaged. Umar said, but Reb Shimon held that no, Mar Makom Hilai, that she was just identifying how she should know, he should know what was they made up, meaning that to say that, look, even if he only gives you silver, it's okay, take it, because although you know I like gold, but I'm agreeable to silver too. But of course, that if he gives me gold, of course she's going to be agreeable. She's just saying that even for silver. Now, but again, as Rashi points out, that if, let's say, she herself really would have been fooled, then Reb Shimon wouldn't disagree, because that's like we learned in the Mishnah Baba Basra, that there's subjective good and bad, and therefore, of course, she wouldn't be engaged if she was fooled and she really didn't want gold. The machlekes is, when she tells him receive silver, was she telling the shlich because she's particular, or because she's just identifying, oh, that's what he's going to give you, because that's what he told me. But of course, gold? Of course I'll take gold. And that's why Reb Shimon says, if it was fooled for the better, and she for sure would want the better, therefore it's going to be a valid kedushin. Now, umay nimtza, so now this that we said, that that's the case of the Mishnah, but then what does it mean it turns out? But you're saying that she was never fooled. She was always agreeable to silver or to gold. So what does it mean that nimtza shel zav? So the Gemara answers, the kutsayer bevlisa. It's talking about when the man gave it to the shliach of the woman, it was wrapped in a rag. And therefore, it just wasn't visible at the time when it was given to him. He assumed it was going to be silver because that's what the woman had told her. Then when she gets it, she opens it up and turns out, whoa, it's gold. I thought he was going to give me silver. That's the machlekes Reb Shimon and the Tanakama. Tanakama says she was particularly, she said this to the shlech. The shlech's only mekabel it if it's exactly as she said, and therefore it's not going to be a kedushin. Whereas Reb Shimon held that, no, of course she's okay. It's just mar malkim. It's just saying that's what he's going to give, but not saying I only want that. If it's hitasa l'shvach, if she had been fooled, again, it really wasn't fooled because she's okay with it, but she just didn't expect that, and it was for the better, then it's going to be a kedushin. She's not makpedis, and that's the halacha of Reb Shimon in the Mishnah, not again that she was fooled, but rather, the way Rav explained it, she just was unaware that that's what it's going to be, but if it's for the better, then it's a valid kedushin because she's okay with the better thing. It wasn't a hakpada to get the lower thing. She was just being marmokim, saying an identifying feature, what it's probably going to be that he's going to give you to engage me with.